Well, I'd appreciate your prayers this morning. I put the title of my thought on the board, Confidence in God. The word confidence would mean a strong belief in something or someone. Kind of the ability that it would have to perform. It would mean sure or certain. We can use it in a lot of different, you can have a lot of confidences in a lot of things. You can say, I'm confident that this equipment can lift that weight, or I'm confident this car can hit that speed, or I'm confident that, I can get this job done. You ever heard of self-confidence? Self-confidence is the belief, a strong belief that you can do what you think you need to do, a confidence. Well, I want to talk about our confidence in God, because I think that all of the things that we have confidence in is things that have proven to some degree that it's worth having confidence in. The more that we interact with God, the more we see things, we can have an understanding intellectually or know that God's able to do something, but never really have the confidence that God's going to do something or that God's going to react to something. And I think we get that confidence by our interaction with God. In other words, I've lived for God long enough, I've interacted with God long enough, I've prayed to God long enough that I have confidence in some areas about God. I have a very strong confidence that God is going to do what's best for me. I don't have a lot of confidence that I know what's best for me. But I have a lot of confidence that I don't have a lot of confidence a lot of times for particular things, say individual things, to say, God will do this. Some people will proclaim things like that, but it doesn't happen. But I rarely can proclaim exact things about God, but I can have a confidence that I really have a confidence that God will work the best thing in our lives. I miss that sometimes, because in my human understanding, I'll look and say, this is what's best. But and I'm wrong. That's not what's best. I can look and say, I don't think that pain, suffering, persecution, any of those things is ever good, but God can look at that and know what He can do with those kind of things. And I think that the Lord wants His people to have a strong confidence, a lot of confidence in Him. And I think if we do, I really believe that it'll make a difference in our daily lives. I think it will change the amount of peace that we can have. Things will come by sometimes that will shake that, and if we're not careful, we get our eyes, our attention off on these things. And we know what a storm can do. It can tear up stuff. We know what this disease can do because we've seen it happen. We know what these things will do in our life because we've seen that. And we can have, if you will say, the negative part of confidence. I'm confident that that'll do that. And you can look at those things. You know, if we're not careful, we can get our eyes off of the Lord and what the Lord's wanting to do. And it will affect our peace. We will become in disarray, we'll become disturbed. We will even show the world, and Lord help us, I want to get to something to understand about this, because there's growth places in our lives. I don't want to bring this off as a condemnation, but as a challenge. That God wants us to look to Him to portray to the world a confidence in God. That the reason we have a confidence in God, and the reason we can stay calm and not allow the things that comes into our life to overwhelm us or to take us as a Christian. These things come. I mean, I'm a realist, okay? And I can't help from saying, I'm not saying it as a condemnation eternally for the soul, but I'm just saying I'm not overly impressed by the idea of Christianity that doesn't do any more to you than the things that come along in life flow you down and you can't work and you can't move and you can't deal with the things. I'm not impressed with a power that can't do any more than that for our lives. I'm impressed with something that can cause someone to stand in the middle of adversity. Well, there's some examples in the scriptures. Peter was supposed to be executed the next day and he went to sleep. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about someone that had been in this situation before and knew and understood now he's in this place. And the Lord said, you were young, you're young, but when you're old, and there's some interaction with that this is in the Lord's control. This is in the Lord's hands. I don't have to fret and worry and be completely unhinged over this moment because there's a God that lives. I've committed myself to the God that lives, and I'm going to believe in the God that lives, and I want the world to know, and as they look onto this situation, and I want them to know that I believe in the God that lives. There's times that the Lord inspires us, and I'll give you one of my examples, but I want you to know that my message isn't trying to say that I'm always like this, because that would be misportraying what I'm trying to tell you today. We get ourselves a lot of times into positions to where we lose our peace because we're not focused on the right thing. I can prove by the scriptures that the greatest men in the scriptures did it. So this is a different place. There is a place to where we know what sin is. Lies, stealing, cheat. There's a list of sins. We know what sin is. We're all to stay away from it. We're all guilty if we do it. We all should feel shame and guilt over those kind of things. I'm not talking about sin. I'm talking about the way we live life. Okay? And in this process of living life, we can get ourselves into a place to where we're doing what we have to do in life. As we're supposed to do in life. We have jobs, we work, we do things. And if we're not careful, we get our eyes off of the Lord, we get our eyes off of the intention, and it's just natural to do. Some of the greatest men in the Bible did this and got themselves into a place to where they didn't have peace. They didn't have confidence in God. I want us to have confidence in God. So I want to look at the scripture, starting off, Matthew 6th chapter. Simple little expression here. It says in the 25th verse of Matthew 6, it says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, or yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Take no thought. What's the Lord trying to say? Take no thought. He's saying, don't worry about it. Now, this is a place to have to deal with. I don't think the Lord ever intended this command to be in the lines of sin. I think this is a place, I think he needed to say this to us. We need to have this. This is very important, Dennis. If I could say it this way, have confidence in God. There is a God that created the universe. There is a God that knows us by name. There's a God that knows the number of hairs on your head. There is a God that knows you all the way to the marrow of your bones. There's a God that knows your every intention, knows you better than you can ever know yourself. This God knows you completely and totally. This God knows everything about you. That God exists and is real in this universe. Have confidence in God and don't worry. Quit worrying about the stuff that's out there. And I'm going to say this. I'm not going to claim that I'm never going to worry again. I've lived enough life that I would not dare ever say something like that. I find this a command that's always there to bring us, to keep bringing us, to build a confidence in God, because there is places in there. And I was going to tell you my story. My story was one time I felt like that the Lord had personally dealt with us about where we live. That the house that we bought up there, I believe the Lord worked that out for us. And I had a number of reasons why I believed the Lord witnessed to me and why we live where we do even today. When we got that house, the Lord did that for me and worked miracles that wasn't normal to work out to give me that place. And that is what I'm saying. That built, not all of it, but it built a section of confidence for me in my life. I can say, God put me there. Now, it's been challenged a number of times with things that come, but God gave me that house. Okay? I don't have any doubt about it. My confidence is total that God gave me that. Well, we had a flood up there one time and the banks was eroding. I've told this many times here, but the banks are eroding away and it's getting closer and closer to the house. It got to, I looked out the living, what was the dining room? Well, it's our bedroom now. But I looked out and this, just literally this close, like 18 inches from the foundation of the house, is the water. It had worked its way all over, and it took out the trees that rooted in. It took out the rock, and it's there, and there's this big cat, and here's the water. And I was standing out on the bridge, and my neighbor, Julian Rittenhouse, comes over. We're standing there watching this happen, and he looks at me and says, "What are you going to do?" I honestly laughed when he said that because there wasn't anything more helpless than I was at this point against trying to do something about that. Well, I mean, you give me an answer. What are you going to do with a roaring river coming down through there? I mean, what? Hey, give me a possibility. You know, I stood there with full confidence because God was in it. God had been in it, and I kept reminding myself, God gave us this place. I was able to say in full confidence to him, this is the Lord's. And if God takes his house down North Fork, down Deer Creek, down to the Greenbrier, it's God's will. It's God's. And I said, but if I know the Lord, he'll stop it short of the house. And then the state will come in and make it back better than it ever was. Do you know that it stopped just short of the house? And the state come by, and because their bridge was in trouble, they come back and said, oh, we got to do something about this because our bridge is going to be undermined. And they come back and put that bank back with the riprap and all. They put it back better than it ever was before. And that built confidence in me about what God has committed and what God has done. It built a confidence in me. We need that to build confidences in our lives. That's why it's very important that we have the testimony that the Lord healed me, that the Lord touched me. I had a problem of something that I was dealing with. I had something in my life that was too big for me. I couldn't change. And the Lord changed it. The Lord do something about it. And but then this comes along and says, for the natural things in life, things ain't going well. And what are you going to do for clothes? And what are you going to do about the things of this life and all this? And the Lord comes along and says, take no thought. And that don't mean don't think about it. That's not the way that's written. The word thought there means don't take any anxious or worrisome thought. God can take care of the sparrows. He takes care of the lilies. And if you're going to show the world God's real, you're going to have to believe in him. Religious is all about going to services and playing musical instruments and playing songs and doing all that kind of stuff. And very little about actually showing the world that God is real. That's what the reality of it is that we really want to do. We want to show the world that God's real. And when these times come in life like this, and I have those kind of needs and stuff, you know, it's very easy. I'm a worrier. Lord help me. I just admit it out. I am a worrier. I've always been a worrier. And it's a struggle right here in this area over and over for me. And the way that I can get those kind of things is to build confidence in God. That I can look and say, because of the experiences of my life, I can look and say, you know what? God's in control. I don't know whether I may get to the point that I don't have no food, but I know God knows. I know God is capable of taking care of all of these places in our lives. So there was people, a number of people I want to mention in both ways, but here I want to look at one of them in Luke, 10th chapter of Luke. I wouldn't necessarily say that Martha was one of the most outstanding people of the Bible, but Martha was somebody that was interested in living for the Lord. And here's a certain passage about Martha and Mary in the 38th chapter, 10th chapter of Luke, or 38th verse, 10th chapter of Luke. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And I want to give you liberty, because things that's not said, I usually ask for liberty. And the idea that you would just consider the thoughts, that it don't necessarily mean it has to be that way, or it's something that you absolutely have to understand. But I just want to have the liberty to be able to suggest this, that when Martha said, do you not care, that there must have been meaning in that. And the meaning kind of signifies the idea that the Lord should have dealt with it without Martha having to chide him about it. You understand where I'm at here with it? Martha is a little bit disturbed about the situation anyway, and she's also disturbed the fact that Jesus didn't go ahead and deal with it and show Mary the error of her ways, with Martha not having to put herself at risk at being at odds with her sister. Jesus should have just done it anyway. All these kind of things. But do you know, when the Lord looks at this and understood that Mary had a confidence in God that he was going to give her something, Mary's peace wasn't gone. She wasn't disturbed or distracted about everything out there. She was at perfect peace that the Lord was here, and she was going to gain this wonderful thing from the Lord. He had come. What a blessing to have this man Jesus come into your home. I mean, this is personalized. This puts a personal stamp on it. This is God. Jesus is going to talk to me. With confidence, she went to the feet of Jesus, that I'm going to hear something eternal. She did, because Jesus said she did. I'm going to get something from my life. And here's Martha. Where's your confidence at? It's all about it. And said, so Martha chides Jesus and says, do you not care that Martha's left me with the whole duty of caring for you in this physical way? You know, Jesus, over and over in the scriptures, gives people a response that they didn't consider. There was a man came to him one time and told the Lord, said, Lord, you need to deal with this. Tell my brother to split the inheritance with him. You know, Jesus' answer to him had nothing to do with his brother. It had to do with what Jesus saw down in him, the potential that man had to ruin himself with covetousness. And he said to him, his answer was, is who made me a divider over you? It's not my place, but beware of covetousness. He didn't even say anything about the brother. He dealt personally with the individuals. You know why the Lord wants to deal with you individually? I mean, I think it's wonderful to come to a service. God set up services like this, and he gives gifts for ministers to do that. And what ministers are to point to is to Jesus Christ. You, because you've got to have confidence in the Lord. Just us doing it doesn't do it. We want everybody to have confidence in the Lord. That's the job, is to point to Christ, to build the confidence. This is why the Lord wants to deal with you individually like he dealt with Martha individually. Because he wanted Martha to end up with confidence in him. So he says to Martha, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things." Martha, I know you want me to say something to Mary, but here's where it's at. I'm looking you right in the eye, Martha. I want you to get this picture. I want you to get the picture. You're face to face with Jesus Christ. He wants to build a confidence in our life that he wants to lead our life. And that whatever he leads it into is the right path for us. I don't know what it will may be. Humans go through all kinds of things. But if you want to look at historically at the people that were successful, they put their trust in Christ through whatever it was. We've had very faithful representation here in this congregation that went before us to show us. They didn't wilt. They kept their faith in God. And they went right on. They didn't whimper. They didn't, I'm saying there's those moments, but they didn't whimper. They didn't complain. They looked to God with a confidence that he built in their life. Brother Sammons went on because he had a confidence in God. God had answered his prayer. God had met with him here. God met with him there. And he comes down to the end and says, he's still here. He's still taking care of me. And I got a confidence in God. It's what Paul expressed in 2 Timothy 4 when he says, I have fought a good fight. I've fought a good fight. I've finished the course. I kept the faith. I got a confidence in God. I wrestled with beasts at Ephesus. God was with me. I was in a shipwreck. God warned me of it. God was with me. I was bit by a snake by the campfire. And God healed that. I was blind on the road to Damascus. And the Lord touched me with that. I've seen the elements of it. I went here. They tried to stone me to death. And I got away from it, and it builds a confidence in me. He says, I'm ready to be offered now. God has led me true all the way down through this, and God is still true with it. Martha was just a human being, just like us. You're going to have your Martha moments. Well, maybe I shouldn't be bold. I've had my Martha moments. There's a constant reminder in the Bible to take no thought for tomorrow. Quit worrying about the things you can't control. Get your eyes on Jesus. I think I may have said it in the testimony, but I want to tell it again. I got a message the other day from one of the folks in Pakistan. Actually, it's the one we work with, the brick kiln out, and she messaged me, and her message to me was that it's so hard here in Pakistan, it's so bad right now. She said, I am worried. Said, I am scared, something to that effect, and said, the electric's out here in Pakistan. They're going to cut the gas off. I've got these children. And she went through this list of things and all of these things, and I knew where she's at and those kind of things. And I will confess that it's easier to talk from my living room chair than to be in the situation. But I also know what the scripture does say about things. And so I told her, I said, Sister Nargis, the God that has saved you still keeps you. You are in God's hands. And she messaged back and said, oh, thank you, brother. I needed that. I want to tell you, we need each other. We need the encouragement. She was taking thought for tomorrow. She wasn't in a desperate time. She was projecting the desperation. What if this happens? What if that happens? What if they really do this? How am I going to feed the children? She was doing all those things. And I begin to say, oh, you want victory in your life? Instead of looking at it like that, start thanking God. Thank God for the situation. believe in the Lord and the Lord. And anyway, I started giving her scripture. And at the end of it, she was so thankful. She said, "Brother, I am so, thank you so much. I'm on top of it again. The Word of God is so valuable to those kind of places. But what I'm saying is to project these things out. The Lord said, don't project it out. You know how many times in this congregation that there has been urgent prayer requests come in, and the situation looks so dire over and over and over again. And you know, one of them particularly, just I remember saying, and it was when I think it was Gavin, one that got the strap around his foot. That was so dire when it come that when we knelt down to pray, I felt like the Lord gave me this. But when we got down to pray, I said, "Lord, this sounds like it's really bad." But in so many times past, we've prayed, and the next word we heard that it's not as bad as it thought it was, and then a little bit, it's not as bad. Oh, it's not near as bad. And after a while, it isn't even that concerning. And I begin to pray that way, and you know, the next word I heard was, "Well, they don't know how, but it's not as bad as that they thought it was." And then before long, it was like, calm down. Everything's going to be all right. And there, in all the excitement and all that stuff, then there was this finally, this calming down. You know, there was a lot of people. Peter found himself at different times. He found himself in these situations to where he didn't have confidence in God. He lied about it. Peter actually starts lying. Now that's sin, of course, but Peter actually gets in himself into a place that he begins to lie about the situation. Confidence in God. Do you remember the story? It's over in 2 Kings, it's 6th chapter if you want to read it. But there was a time where Elisha, I believe it was, comes in and the armies come after him, and it's kind of like, in my mind's eye, you know, it's like a tent, and his servant looks out, and there's this army that's circled around. They had sent him after Elisha. In my mind, and again, it's liberty, that doesn't say this, in my mind, Elisha stretches kind of on his bed, you know, "What is it?" And said, "Well, there's a great army out here." And it says, yeah, them armies, you know, like, that's nothing to get excited about. Because I got confidence in God. This ain't the first time the Lord's worked with me. This ain't the first time that the Lord's helped us in this thing. It don't make no difference if it's one man bigger than you or an army bigger than you. It doesn't matter if it's the great things or the small. You can't do that much anyway. It doesn't matter about those things. Elisha's there, and that's in my mind. He kind of says, "Praise Lord, open my servant's eyes." That he can see the servant. The servant didn't have the same confidence in the same place that Elisha had. Over and over in the scriptures you'll find these. There was men there too that had confidence in God. It doesn't say it, but don't you get the idea that Daniel was calm? I mean, just isn't the perception you get from scripture was as when they made the king made the decree that you couldn't pray before God or man, nothing but the king. You couldn't make a petition, anything but the king for 30 days or something like that. And doesn't it portray the fact that Daniel was calm? And it said that he went and put his windows open just like a four, like he always did. Go and pray just like he always did. Doesn't that give you the depiction of someone that's had God work in their life? I don't know whether Daniel knew what was all going to happen or all that. I don't think he did. I think he just knew the God that he served. The God that I continually prayed to when I got in trouble. And or he could even say, "Boy, I remember when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego got in trouble. I remember when the king was going to get rid of all of us, because Nebuchadnezzar had already made the decree to kill those wise men. They don't know nothing." Daniel comes in calm and says, "Oh, wait a minute. let's wait a minute here. Build confidence." Confidence. God had been with Daniel, and God's going to be with Daniel again. And it doesn't look like there's a way out. It looks like it's got to be this way. But Daniel depicted a faith and a belief in God that the world could look at and say, he really believes God. And then when it comes to pass, you know the story, the king couldn't change his mind. I think the king would have liked to, but what is it if you can just change decrees? That means they ain't worth nothing. So he keeps the decree and Daniel gets thrown in the, but it didn't seem like he was excited about it. Didn't change the way he felt about the king. Oh, king, live forever. An attitude? Oh, king, you're just a man too. You're under, Lord have mercy on you, king. King, live forever. Good king, bad king, make no difference. My king is God. To build a confidence and have a confidence in God that we can go through life with and be able to know that the circumstances, I know my circumstances can be changed for the reason and why I'm doing it. You know what I mean? When I say I'm doing this for the Lord, when I really mean I'm going to do this for the Lord, you know, somehow there becomes a joy in it. Even though it might be a strain or it might be something that's not pleasant, when I can say, Lord, the one that died for me, I'm going to give you this, it makes a whole, it changes the way I perceive it, totally perceive it. You all know, of course, I mean, we take up offerings for him and stuff, but, you know, Brenda's been, and the children have been something that I feel like the Lord put on me personally, and it's something very important to me. So I dedicated, going to sell the wood. I was going to give all the wood that I'd done. I was going to give it to Brenda and the children. Do you know what a blessing it is to get wood for me? When I am splitting wood and thinking of those children eating, every time I think of them being a little bit better off because I'm doing this, do you know it becomes work becomes joy? When I can have that feeling that I'm doing something with this. You know, when we give it to the Lord, there is a confidence that when bad things is happening, a confidence in God. I don't know, Brother Clifford would know this story better, but it seems to me like it was Brother Albert Eck, but there was a story, somebody told the story. Story of a storm coming out there. You all remember the story of a storm coming and brother, everybody was running for cover. I believe Brother Albert was blind too at the time. But anyway, the story was told he was out there and just kind of rebuked the storm. God rebuked the storm. Everybody else running, but he kind of was like, been through a lot of these things. God is the, yeah, God was the one that the storm come and come to the farmer's fence. He was praying, God, spare this. And here comes this tornado wiping out everybody's crop, and it gets to his fence, and it jumps up in the air, as tornadoes do. It jumped up in the air and went across his and let itself down on his fence on the other side. Big stretch of damage all the way through the country, and there was a farm sitting there that the corn still stood on. Because he stood there and prayed and said, look, I don't think that was Brother Albert on that one, but I'm saying there's a confidence that we can have in God that is where it's really real. I appreciate all the other elements. Really, I do. I'm not putting those down. But sometimes in the middle of those, I see the projection of us saying with our mouths and all this thing, and then these things come, and it so rattles us that we're not portraying that we believe God is real. And that God, that I am doing, and I'm standing here before God, but to see that, remember when I went to Monarch one time, I don't even remember who it is now because it was the first time I ever went to Monarch, and that was back in like 86 or something. And anyway, I remember being in the bathrooms. This was in, of course, the old part of the campground. And there was a guy in there. It was a brother in there that had a cancer on his face. And I thought this was a strange thing. It was another brother. Another brother, he comes up and he says, what's that on your face? And this was odd to me because I had never done that. And I don't know who either one of them was. He said, what's that on your face? And the brother says, well, it's an old cancer, I guess. And he said, that brother said, well, that'll kill you. Looked at him right at him and said, that'll kill you. I remember thinking, oh, what? And the brother that had the cancer, he just said, Well, it's all in the Lord's hands. And I remember thinking, well, amen. It's all, but that was strange. The conversation was strange to me. Is there right here in the middle of this? God's in everything. And I wasn't saying it was necessarily discouraging to this guy, but it could have been. If you got your mind off and saying, what will tomorrow hold with this? You know, the Lord really says, take no thought for tomorrow. Let it take, there's more than enough evil for that. Don't project the evils and the things into their life. But have a confidence and a faith in God. Let's see, do I have one more? I thought I had one more scripture that I want to look at. In Mark, the fourth chapter, I think, of Mark. Yeah, that's it, Mark 4 and 38. I'll go to 36. It says, and when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and waters beat into the ship, and so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest not that we perish, and the human mind again is at work. Right? The human mind is at work. They had taken the storm all the way up. They didn't do this instantly, of course. You never know, one might blow over. They took it all the way till it was full. They took the situation in the human, that they were seagoing people. They knew what the sea can do. We're not trying to be ignorant about anything. We know what can happen. These men knew what was happening. And the only logical conclusion that they could draw from the fact that Jesus wasn't doing anything was that he didn't care. Well, I don't understand why something isn't changing here, because I'm totally a wreck here. I'm totally, my mind's gone. My nerves are gone. My situation is gone. Lord, do you not care? We're going to perish. You don't care? I guarantee you these same men got to a place of confidence. This is steps for us, folks. There'll be times that your confidence can be shaken. It's not. It's not to be the end of you. It's only an element of living for the Lord. I don't want the guilt to fall over you of quitting or anything because of it, because this is something the Lord wants to deal with you about. This is what he wants to do. God, you know, God, Jesus is master of the storm. So that means if he can tell it to start, he can tell it to stop. But it also means that if he's able to tell it to stop, then he's the one that told it to start. You know, that thing was in subjection to the Lord the whole way. And Jesus didn't need any reminding of it. He already knew it. There was just some people on the ship that didn't know it. There was some people on the ship that was going to have to deal with the things of God that he had called them to, that was going to need a confidence in him above this. They were going to need a confidence above what they could ever see or understand. They needed a confidence in God. And he wanted to give it to them. So he allows this situation to happen. So here's the situation. Do you not care? Jesus is able to get up and say, peace be still. And it laid down. What manner of man does the elements listen to? You think they ever forgot that one? You ever think they forgot about the time that they was in the ship and it looked like it was going to sink and Jesus told the waves to stop, told the sea to stop? What man does this? You know, you can almost say some things are what do they call it? Psychosomatic. You say to somebody you're going to get better, or there's such an emotional appeal at the altar, that minister lays his hand on there and there's this aura around you and he preaches this eloquent prayer and it comes on you and the emotions come and you feel better. What are you going to do when the elements lay down? Now give me an explanation for the psychosomatic part of that. He told the elements to stop. Of all the explanations that I get of carnal explanations, it's really hard to say how you can carnally say that the wind stopped blowing. And the sea lays down like a mill pond, smooth as glass. Now how are you going to say that? No, these men got this firsthand from the Lord, a confidence that that Jesus was beyond that. Jesus has done in our lives a lot of things. Lord, help us to have our confidence. I say confidence. Confidence is a strong belief in something or someone's ability to do something. It is sure and certain. I'm absolutely convinced. I am confident that it's going to get dark tonight, this evening. It has done it for 60 years of my life, and I'm confident of that because I've seen it. You know, the Lord wants us to live into the place that we can speak to those that need it and say, I'm confident. I've had times, though, I was absolutely confident to tell somebody. Sister Billie Jean said, Brother Salmon said something today. It's one of my mantras. Said something to her. I'm absolutely confident that God can lead you. You're honest in your heart. God will lead you. I am so confident that God will lead the honest people that I don't go stressing things about how they've got to live and walk and dress and do all that kind of stuff, because I've got a confidence that they'll want to know what it is, because they have a confidence of their right in their heart that God will lead them and guide them. I'm absolutely confident of it because you know what? That's what he did for me. Over and over again, he brought things to me. My wife testifies of the same thing. We have the same testimony. I wanted to live for the Lord, and the Lord taught me how. And the Lord convicted me and convinced me of the things in my life that I need to do and how I need to do it. We're not afraid to do that, because what we really want, what our goal and desire is as a minister, what the goal really is, it isn't some kind of uniform thing. It isn't kind of marching down the street all looking like and all that kind of stuff. What a minister really wants of the congregation is that they learn to have confidence in God for themselves. You know what? Not that this isn't a part of it, and I want to give always the opportunity to call me anytime, night or day. I'm more than glad to get up or pray or whatever. But the congregation's healthy when you pray first. The congregation's healthier when you can get a hold of God. Then on Wednesday nights you testify, and I'm always available, and there's a part and a place that God wants us to be there to knit us together, but it's also very good to be able, I say thank the Lord for it. I don't have to be important one. I don't want the Lord to only answer my prayers. That would be sick. I want the whole congregation to have the ability. And then you come Wednesday night and testify that sickness happened and we offered prayer and God healed them. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Be able to get the answers. Because if you come to me for answers, I mean, you know what the answer you're going to get from me. You're going to get the answer is that I don't know. You better ask God. We can ask God together. I don't know. I can give you some of my life experiences. I can tell you a lot for what Scripture says. But the confidence that I have is in Christ. And the confidence that I have is that the Lord will supersede my understanding of things. And when I think I've got it totally understood, God will do something completely out of the normal to touch somebody's life, to help somebody. He'll do it over and over again. And how could you ever understand it any different? I mean, what do we say about these kind of things? Maybe there's some neglect. I mean, you told the story today. It's sad. I'm sorry. It touched me. It was sad that Bobby fell. That was sad and all that. And I can easily say, why would God allow something like that to happen to somebody like that in that situation? How can you do that? It's not something that I would say that I can understand. But I'll tell you what I have confidence in. I have confidence in a God that's able to take care of all those things and will do the very best job he can for everybody. It might mean eternity, and we don't know. I pray that we'd all be able to build a confidence in God to where it's not just a confidence when we're sitting in a religious service, but it's confidence in the very daily life that we live, in the conversation that we have in the neighborhood and around about us would exhibit a confidence in God, because He's able and He's worthy. You pray for me.